And right now we are going to go to an interview that we did with Diana von Glahn, who has a video series that began with a look at the Miraculous Metal Shrine. Right now, we are very happy to welcome to the program Diana von Glahn. She is the producer and host of The Faithful Traveler, which is a fun new travel show with a Catholic focus. Diana, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And I also want to say right from the beginning, to give proper credit where it's due, that you actually co-created this, and who is working a lot on this with you is your husband.
That's right.
David.
That's right, yeah.
And so he does the filming, is that right, and some of the editing?
He does the video, sound, lighting. He helps with the editing. We kind of do that together. He helps me with, you know, a lot of the decision making and that kind of thing. But he's really more the technical man.
The technical man. And I know that. So, and you are, as I said, you helped to create this this idea. And we're going to find out where that came from. Mm-hmm. You're the editor, and you do writing, and you host. So you are on the air, like on the video itself.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're actually going to play a little clip from this a little bit later from the first one that's available. It's the Philadelphia's Miraculous Metal Shrine. Now, I love the shrine, and like I said, as I said in the beginning of the program, we're going to be broadcasting live from the shrine. You know, I should have the date in front of me. It's the day before Thanksgiving.
Everybody
Wednesday
knows
before,
that day.
Yeah, Thanksgiving morning around 10 a.m. So
Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll be giving you more information on that. But I wanted to start, actually, Diana, by going back, because looking through your website and having talked to you, I think we first met about two or three years ago,
right,
when this was still, it took a lot of work to get to the point that you're at now. So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
On having this first DVD, and I know that it's going to be on a television station near you, we pray, in the upcoming, maybe within a month.
Yep.
So we're going to find out a little bit more about that, but I know this has been a long journey for you.
It has.
But I thought, as we go through your journey, that we could start maybe with your earliest memories, because obviously something that is traveling is something that you love, and also especially Catholic, with the Catholic focus, with, you know, visiting Catholic churches, shrines, and different places. So what are some of your earliest memories? Is that something that you did as a child? Was your family engaged in that, in traveling, or was it like your local area? Was there certain churches that you would go to?
Well, I grew up in San Diego in California, where, for those of you who've been in California, California is known for the missions. We have, you know, we have San Diego Mission, the Franciscans founded them. So, and I grew up with two very devout parents. My mom and my dad were both born in Mexico, so they have a very strong faith. And I grew up with my three sisters. My mom would always tell us stories about the saints. You know, we would go fishing and we would sit in the car. My mom would tell us stories about the saints and my dad would be out fishing, you know. And so I always grew up, you know, with these stories about these people who I just thought were fabulous.
Like relatives, huh?
Yeah. You know, it was like you just knew all of them and they were just such a great inspiration for our lives. You know, when you were feeling good, you looked to St. Therese. And when you were feeling bad, you looked to St. Augustine. And, there was always somebody who could help you out wherever you were. And as I grew up and I went to college, I went to graduate school. I left California. I went to graduate school at the University of Notre Dame. And through Notre Dame, I was able to live in London. And then after graduate school, I just kind of lived all across the country. And everywhere that I go, I just always end up in a Catholic church. I mean, obviously for Mass, but usually just because it can be kind of scary. Mm-hmm. Going to a foreign city, and the Catholic Church, no matter where you are, is always home.
It's always home.
It's always, you know what to expect.
You can count on it.
Yeah, you definitely can. I mean, I remember the first time when I moved to New York City, I had an interview for a temp agency, and I took the train in from, I took the path in from New Jersey, and I was so scared. And, you know, I'm at 34th Street, and I'm thinking, where, you know, if I could just find the Empire State Building, and I'm wandering around, can't find it. And, you know, next thing I know, I look over, and they're the doors of the Empire State Building because I was right at 34th Street. So I had maybe 2 hours before my interview, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know anybody in the city, and I was just about to start crying in the middle of New York City, and I saw a Catholic church right on the corner, right by Penn Station, and I was just so grateful. And, of course, I was praying, and I went in, sat there for 2 hours, lit about every candle in the place, you know? And it was just the best feeling. And ever since then, like, every time I go back to New York, I always visit this church. And, you know, if you're ever in New York City and you go to Penn Station, you know, I think it's right on. They have a great devotion to Padre Pio there. So, you know, it's like no matter where you are, there's always something amazing in Padre Pio there. So, you know, it's like no matter where you are, there's always something amazing. It's and so, you know, as I went through life, I did this just normally. And then when my husband and I got married, we were planning our honeymoon to Paris, France, and we were going to stay in the Loire Valley as well, where there are a great deal of chateaux. And I really wanted to do some Catholic things as well as some touristy things. And I, you know, I was looking online, and for some reason, I just didn't find the kind of information that I wanted. And we were at the time watching a lot of the Travel Channel. I mean, that's all we did because we were, we
getting all those tips, right?
Yeah. Stop. You know, and we have a wanderlust kind of thing that, you know, we like learning about new places, and the Travel Channel is very interesting for those things, but there is a real dearth of information when it comes to religious things. And usually when they talk about religious things, it's kind of with a very skeptical tone, and they might just gloss over it, and, you know. So, you know, I thought, well, I've been doing this my whole life. I'm sure I'm not the only person who's doing this. And, you know, I remember once hearing Peter Kreeft say that he writes the books that he wants to read. And he goes out and looks for them. And when they're not there, he writes them. Hmm. Well, so that's what we figured. Well, you know, I want to watch this show. It doesn't exist. So I'll make it myself.
Good philosophy there.
So, yeah.
There's
so
got to be somebody else who'd want to see it too, right?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, we've had friends, both Catholic and non-Catholic, who have said that they find it very interesting. And we're really trying to appeal to people of all faiths, and you know, whether or not they're strong Catholics or whether or not they just don't know a lot about their faith. You know, we are trying to, by having real high production values, we want our show to look like the kinds of stuff that you would see on the Travel Channel or on the Discovery Channel or the History Channel. We want it to look good and real, you know, high production, gorgeous.
But also give it to a depth.
Yeah, we want to be faithful to the church. And there are so many glorious things about our church that people don't know that we just figure, well, why not teach them while we're entertaining them at the same time?
We're speaking this morning with Diana von Glahn. She is the producer and host of The Faithful Traveler. And the very first DVD is now available. It's for Philadelphia's Miraculous Metal Shrine. And I invite you to check out the website where you can find out more information at www.thefaithfultraveler.com. And I think you can purchase this DVD on the website. Is that
correct? Yes, you can. Okay. Our DVD is available on our website as well as on Amazon.com.
Okay, and you live in this area. Is that right? You're in the Philadelphia area?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that it's a natural that you would begin you know, with some of the shrines in the Philadelphia area. Philadelphia's Miraculous Metal Shrine is a beautiful shrine in Germantown, in the Germantown area. So what are some of the other shrines that you have are in, on the, you know, list?
Well, we are to blessed. Be visited? Here. Yeah, I mean, it's if we were going to be living in any other city in the United States, I mean, we've got five shrines here. It's amazing. We've got St. John Newman, which is in Center City, Philadelphia. Right. We've got St. Catherine Drexel in Bensalem, the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown. We have Częstochowa, which is here in Doylestown. And we also have... St. Rita, which is in South Philly. So, you know, and these are national shrines. I mean, they just made the shrine to St. Catherine Drexel a national shrine, which is very exciting for them. So in our first season, what we're going to do is we're going to hit the Miraculous Metal Shrine, St. Catherine Drexel, and St. Rita, and then we'll probably come back around to Philadelphia for the second season, if God willing, there is one.
I get the sense there is going to be. Having known you now and your determination. And like you said, about as far as the production values go, we know from being in radio, EWTN, of course, really strives. And it's not always easy because one thing I always am aware of in radio, it's not quite as expensive. Because, you know, you don't have the visual. And the visuals really can be a lot more expensive
and
when you get into the cameras, the editing, and everything else. But thank God for the technology that we have today with video, editing, and everything else. You could do things today that wouldn't have been, you couldn't dream of doing even 10 years ago.
That's right. Yeah. The electronics market has changed a lot. I mean, definitely, I'm sure everybody's aware of what's going on YouTube. And, you know, people, lay people, you know, regular people are getting their hands on these cameras that can do amazing things.
The quality is amazing.
So what we did was we're shooting in HDV, which is high definition. We're not releasing in high def yet because I don't think the world is quite ready for it yet.
But yeah, it's awesome that you have that.
So
that this is not going to get outdated in 5 or 10 years when that's the format.
That's right. And what we're doing is, Apple makes a program called Final Cut Studio, which is just, it's all electronic editing. And, you know, just as long as you have it on your computer, I've got a little laptop and we're just doing it all on our laptop. And, the tools that are available to people nowadays.
The advances today, wow.
But let me jump in and just let listeners know that this does not in any way look like a home. This is not a home done project because, we all have our home movies and things like that. This is completely professional. And like I said, you wouldn't be able to get this level of professionalism unless we were, the costs had come down to the degree that they have. I know that your husband, David, is actually a graduate of Syracuse University's School of Telecommunications.
I'm sure
that's helpful.
It's funny.
God had a plan for you too.
I think so. It's funny, we look back in our history and think, this really was meant to be. David graduated quite some time ago from the Newhouse School of Telecommunications at Syracuse, which is very well regarded. But at the time that he was there, they were editing on old school, tape. And so while he's familiar with the techniques and he obviously has an eye with the camera, everything that we're using is completely new to him. Okay. So, we're teaching ourselves how to do this from the very beginning. The only thing that I know with this show is the stories about the Saints. That's it. Everything else we're learning, how to edit, how to deal with the sound, how to we're going to be delivering the show to a network soon. And, we're having to teach ourselves how to get it broadcast safe because there are certain rules of that. And it's just, there's a lot to learn. And, all I'm doing is praying because I just hope I get it right.
Well, there's so much potential too with this DVD, certainly for pleasure and for, just your own personal edification. But what about the education-wise for children, for parishes, for different ministries?
Right.
I think this would be a great gift if you wanted to present somebody with a miraculous medal. Give them this DVD as well, because that'll give them the complete history.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many friends of mine I had who came up to me and said, I have one of these medals. I never knew what it was.
Yes.
My grandmother gave it to me, or, I had no idea what this medal was. And, when you find out that, you walk into a Catholic bookstore and you see all these medals and you think that one right there was designed by the Virgin Mary. Well,
maybe you want to hear a little history
on that.
That's
kind of cool.
Yeah, why don't you give us a little bit of history?
For
a little teasers, because we certainly want people to get the DVD, but...
Absolutely. And this actually ties into our honeymoon. In Paris is a shrine on a street called Rue de Bac, which is very expensive, very chichy location in Paris. But there's a little Catholic shrine there where nuns live. And way back in time, there was a young novice named Catherine Labouré who entered the shrine, and she received apparitions from the Blessed Virgin Mother. And Mary basically said to her, on a number of occasions, I've got something for you to do, which is to create this medal. She showed her what she wanted the medal to look like, and she said, if people wear this medal and they pray and they live their lives, it's like any sacramental, obviously it's not a good luck charm, but it's you wear it and you live your life according
to the message it represents.
Absolutely. Then you receive great graces, and there are countless stories. If you go to the Miraculous Medal Shrine here in Philadelphia, there are all their bulletins, all their newsletters will tell you story after story of people whose life. It's Mary again doing what she's always done. She's turning us to Christ, and she's saying, come and pray to my son because, he has many graces. It's Mary again doing what she's always done. She's turning us to Christ, and she's saying, come and pray to my son because, he has many graces that he wants to give you. All you have to do is ask for them.
And because of all of these, that's where the word miraculous came into the medal, because of these beautiful miracles that were performed.
That's right.
And talk about an endorsement. I know that Mother Teresa was known to, that was what she would give people. She would always be handing out miraculous medal, the medal.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, our guest last week, if you remember, we spoke with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, and she had a story about she had met Mother Teresa and she had received the miraculous medal. And then
she had a troubled pregnancy.
And Mother Teresa sent her in the mail another miraculous medal, and she said, I want you to, you know, pray with this, and exactly what we're talking about. It wasn't a good luck charm, but it was that sacrament right with that.
That's right.
Again, why don't we do this, Diana? I want to play just the audio. This is about just a few minutes, but we can play this little audio clip. Now, the beauty of doing a series on video with these shrines is you can see the beauty, the visual beauty, and this little audio clip. Now, the beauty of doing a series on video with these shrines is you can see the beauty, the visual beauty, and this shrine particularly, this is one of my favorite, it's just some real beautiful things at the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Philadelphia. So you're not, you know, we're not going to get the visual, but even the audio, you can hear the way the story is told. And one of the people you'll hear is Father Pieber from the shrine, who we have interviewed, and he is just like a ball
of
fire.
He's on fire.
He's so fun, and he just has such,
loves what he's doing.
He speaks so beautifully of Mary.
Mm.
And you're going to hear that in this little clip. So again, we're speaking this morning with Diana von Glahn. She is the producer and host of The Faithful Traveler. It's a new Catholic travel series. The first episode is basically out and available on DVD. It's Philadelphia's Miraculous Metal Shrine. And right now we're going to play you a little sort of demo of a little clip from that DVD.
In September of 1890, Joseph Skelly left home to become a Vincentian priest. But before he left, his mother placed a small miraculous medal around his neck and asked him to wear it always. Little did she know that one act of faith and love would essentially amount to her placing that medal around the necks of hundreds of thousands of people.
Join me, Diana von Glahn, as I discover the treasures of Philadelphia's Miraculous Metal Shrine in the first episode of The Faithful Traveler. Learn about the history of this amazing nun who received a heavenly visit that changed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people around the world. Pray the Novena prayers a lot about the young French nun who received a heavenly visit that changed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people around the world. Pray the Novena prayers along with the rest of the shrine's congregation and explore the remarkable museum, which contains countless works of art, including one of the first miraculous medals ever made. This travel show is like none other, exploring shrines and places of pilgrimage throughout the United States, some of which might even be in your own city.
The miracle of the medal is that it brings the power of God in our life at that moment. And there's nothing more powerful, more miraculous than the power of the divine life of God present in our life. When we touch that metal, we bring all of salvation, all of the divine life that God offers and gives us to that present moment. That's the miracle.
One of the really special things here at the Shrine is the perpetual novena to Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, which has been going strong for more than 75 years.
Downstairs from the main chapel is another shrine that's based on the apparition of Mary standing atop the globe.
One of the things I love about visiting different churches and shrines is seeing how various artists illustrate the Stations of the Cross. The stations here are amazing. They're very big, and they're painted with bright, vibrant colors that really bring them to life. So many healings and conversions signed by the Virgin Mary herself. So it's no wonder that it wins such extraordinary graces for those who wear it and who pray for Mary's intercession.
If you're planning a trip to Philadelphia, live nearby, or just want to learn more about this amazing shrine and the medal behind it,
wear it and who pray for Mary's intercession.
If you're planning a trip to Philadelphia, live nearby, or just want to learn more about this amazing shrine and the medal behind it, check out this, the first episode of The Faithful Travelers. And keep your eyes and ears open for more.
And there you have it, The Faithful Traveler. That was Diana Von Glahn. Very, very nice hosting job there, Diana.
Thank you.
And you know what? If you just heard the audio, and I know on radio we can't send, not yet in any way, there's no way for us to send the visual over. They're probably working on it with some kind of super HD, right? But the fact is, if you want to see the video or something like that, you know, you have another really cool thing on the website that I like, and that is the map section.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have a full map of the United States. Mm-hmm. You click on any state, and boom, all the different shrines and Catholic things to visit.
The highlights.
Yeah.
Just
well,
highlights.
All the shrines that we know of, we definitely rely on, you know, on your listeners.
For the United States. Mm-hmm. You click on any state, and boom, all the different shrines and Catholic things to visit.
The highlights.
Yeah.
Just
well,
highlights.
All the shrines that we know of, we definitely rely on, you know, on your listeners and on anybody who knows of an amazing church or a shrine or a monastery where people can visit to let us know. You know, we're constantly getting people telling us about places that we don't know. And I mean, all the research that I've done has been online. Definitely, you know, there isn't a lot.
The shrine, we were kind of talking on the side, and you mentioned a few beautiful things about novenas and prayers, and I really think you should share just a little tidbit with our listeners, because prayer is so clipped from the Faithful Traveler about the miraculous shrine. We were kind of talking on the side, and you mentioned a few beautiful things about novenas and prayers, and I really think you should share just a little tidbit with our listeners, because prayer is so powerful. And
yeah,
beautiful.
I have, I think... I don't know. Mary has been tremendously special to me throughout my life. And I mean, we obviously I'm frequently praying to her, but I was just telling you that before I met my husband, I prayed a 54-day rosary novena, which is traditionally, I think, prayed by women who are looking for a spouse. And, you know, it was funny. I told all my friends about it, all my friends who weren't Catholic or they had fallen away, and they thought I was crazy. And then when I met my husband, they were like, how do you pray the novena? He was the kind of person who was so good.
Right. He was Catholic, but he didn't know it.
It was weird. I mean, so there were a lot of times that I thought this man is more at the time, and I really prayed a lot about this. He was the kind of person who was so good.
Right. He was Catholic, but he didn't know it.
It was weird. I mean, so there were a lot of times that I thought this man is more Catholic than I am. You know, but you know, definitely I wanted to find a way to you know, bring him into the church, just because I love it so much and I wanted him to love it. But I'm horrible at convincing people. I mean, I'm really bad at that. So I just prayed. I prayed the Divine Mercy Novena. My mom and my sisters prayed with me. And shortly before we were married, David said, you know, all right, well, what do I have to do to... And he was converted. And, you know, and it's great, especially for the show as well, because, you know, you've got the Cradle Catholic version of it, and you've got the new convert side of it.
And you can look at it with
different
eyes.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, we
beauty.
Don't want to appeal to just the one.
With the fullness of the church, you know, the way the Catholic Church embraces beauty, you go into the churches, and the beautiful, so true. As Catholics, we are so blessed with the fullness of the church. You know, the way the Catholic Church embraces beauty, you go into the churches, and the beautiful statues, the stained glass, the altars, you know, and this is all like to inspire our faith and to teach the faith. I mean, you know, a lot of this began in the Middle Ages when you know, the literacy rate, it was very low,
sure,
and people could like learn things and do the Stations of the Cross without having to read it,
right.
And they could look and understand our Lord's Passion and different things. So we're so blessed as Catholics. And one of the things I love is that you can go to different areas and you can visit, even if it's not a shrine, you can visit a new church for the first time, and you can always feel at home no matter where you're at, because you are home. You're in the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned Stations of the Cross, and I have to say, in this DVD at the Miraculous Shrine, it's just beautiful, the stations. And you mentioned how they're huge. They're almost life-size, and you feel like you're right there at each station as you're praying.
And that's one of the things that I always look at, no matter where I go. I mean, what do the stations look like? You know, sometimes they're pretty basic. You know, they're still wonderful. And I always, every time I visit the shrine, I love those stations. And that's one of the things that I always look at, no matter where I go. I mean, what do the stations look like? You know, sometimes they're pretty basic. You know, they're still wonderful. But sometimes they are just amazing.
along with Veronica's cloth, where she holds the cloth over Jesus' face, and you see the imprint of Jesus' face in the cloth. That's just
You know what jumped out at me? Because that was part of the promo, the clip that we just played, and you can see that online at your website. I have been to the shrine a few times now, and there's so many other things to see. I kind of had a sort of memory of the stations, but for whatever reason, it didn't jump out at me until I saw it on your video, and I thought, oh, I can't wait till I go back, because I'm really going to make a point. And I'm thinking, this video would be excellent for your church parish group or prayer group. If you're going to take a pilgrimage, take the bus down, pop the video in. You could watch it on the way down. Even if it's not too far a drive, you could watch the rest on the way back. But the point is, I mean, what a great way to spend the entire time and really get so much more out of that visit.
Or if your ministry group is going to start at 54.
You don't really know what it means. You might be able to appreciate the beauty of it just on its base level, but if you can appreciate where it comes from and how it was made and that kind of thing. And so, you know, if you walk into any place and you see things and you don't really know what it means, you might be able to appreciate the beauty of it just on its base level, but if you can appreciate where it comes from and how it was made and that kind of thing, then it really makes you appreciate it that much more. So we think that, you know, the show is great for, you know, not only for people who want to learn more about the faith, people who want to learn more about these locations, but for CCD classes, for young kids, and for...
Information on everything that we're talking about, and actually purchase, if you'd like, The Faithful Traveler, the first DVD that's available, Philadelphia's Miraculous Metal Show. Producer and host of The Faithful Traveler. You can find out information on everything that we're talking about, and actually purchase, if you'd like, The Faithful Traveler, what to focus on. Because some of these shrines, you could do probably like a multi-part series, especially when you get into the history behind it and some of the different artwork that's there, and you know, so many different things you can focus on. So, you know, we'll get into a little bit of what you can expect to find in one of these episodes. We'll be right back with more WISP Live. Diana Van Glahn is the producer and host of the Faithful Traveler DVD and TV series we've been talking about this morning. And Diana, this each episode, you go through the art, the architecture, the historical fact. You know, is the producer and host of the Faithful Traveler DVD and TV series we've been talking about this morning. And Diana, this each episode, you go through the art, the architecture, the historical fact, you know, the story. Every shrine has a story. Usually it's a saint, the scripture, and the church teaching behind the location. So it there must be like a good amount of research that goes into this beyond just going to the location and looking about, okay, what do we want to film? Then you have to find out, well, you know, how do they get there? So it must be a bit of work to find, I mean, depending on who works there, who remembers what, it must be a real, you know, challenge to find all this information out.
It is. It is. There are a number of things that this thing, so I'm not starting from, you know, complete ignorance, but there's a lot to learn. I mean, especially, you know, with somebody like St. Catherine Drexel, who we're going to be doing next. I mean, that woman had just an amazing life, and, you know, but when it comes down to, okay, well, how do we write the script and how do we focus on it, you know, honestly, I just pray about it all the time, because what I want to do is I want to show people what God wants me to show them. And so that's what I'm always asking him, you know, get me to say the things the way that you want me to say them, and show us how you want us to frame this shot, or how do you want us to edit this show. I mean, there are plenty of times when I'm sitting in front of my computer and I'm trying to think, okay, do I cut? Where do I cut? What am I doing? And I'll just pray because, you know,
and somehow it gets done, right?
You know, it's weird. Every now and then, like one time recently, in fact, I was confused about something. I'm currently editing St. Catherine Drexel, and I came to a crossroads where I didn't know what to do. And I just thought, you know, I'm just going to stop and I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to pray. And within 10 minutes, I had this brilliant idea.
It was given to you, huh?
Yeah, and I know it wasn't me because I had been thinking about this for a really long time. And, you know, and that was one of the things that, you know, I really feel very strongly, you know, that we're definitely a two-man production team, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is part of our team as well, you know, because I'm constantly...
And all those saints in heaven.
Yeah, I'm nagging him all the time.
That's great. And of course, one of the important elements of any production, video, film, TV, whatever it may be, is the audio part.
And in heaven.
Yeah, I'm nagging him all the time.
That's great. And of course, one of the important elements of any production, video, film, TV, whatever it may be, is the audio part. And besides your hosting and explaining things and, of course, interviewing people like we heard from Father Pieber from the Miraculous Metal Shrine on that little clip, of course, we also have the music soundtrack.
Right.
So, you know, how did you go about thinking about that and how does that fit into the series?
Well, music, I have a strong background in music. I mean, I went to a high school of the arts, so I was always in choir, and I always have a very strong sense of how music can really frame something. And definitely nowadays, in both in movies as well as in television, as I wanted to be by myself, so I needed some really cool musicians to help me out. And fortunately, I found a bunch of Catholic musicians on MySpace and Emotions with Music. And I knew that there was no way that I could be as cool as I wanted to be by myself, so I needed some really cool musicians to help me out. And fortunately, I found a bunch of Catholic musicians on MySpace.
Really?
And, yeah, it was really, I mean, there's this amazing Catholic group of people on MySpace that they're all just kind of, you know, talking about their ministries. And so I listened to a bunch of music and I just emailed people and I said, look, you know, we would love to use your music in the show. And as a result, we met some spectacular people like Sarah Bauer, who was the music.
When we get to the next episode, we know we'll have you back. And I promise we'll have that theme song because that's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's so up and it's just perfect. Theme song. I apologize. I don't have that ready to go. But like
it's
maybe,
very
you know
upbeat
what?
And inspiring.
I promise we'll have you back when we get
the
to the next episode. We know we'll have you back. And I promise we'll have that theme song because that's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's so up, and it's just perfect.
It is, and I mean, I can't stop listening to a lot of music.
It just kind of stays with you.
It does, and it's really, you know, but we also listen, you know, we include contemporary music, but we also like to include traditional music because, you know, there's a difference because we have the ability to use both. And we've got a page on our website about the musicians that we're working with, so when people will watch the shows, if they find that they like the music, they can just go on our website and click over to their site and buy the CDs. So it's really great.
Yeah. What a great way to...
We've got a page on our website about the musicians that we're working with. So when people will watch the shows, if they find that they like the music, they can just go on our website and click over to their site and buy the CDs. So it's really great.
Yeah. What a great way to incorporate, getting the full cast, which is obviously a big part of our heritage as well.
Absolutely.
And Diana, I'm looking at your DVD and I'm wondering, was there something that because of time that you weren't able to put in there?
You know, no, which is very odd.
That's really excellent to be able to say that.
Yeah. When we started editing The Miraculous Metal Shrine.
As well.
Absolutely.
And Diana, I'm looking at your DVD and I'm wondering, was there something that because of time that you weren't able to put in there?
You know, no, which is very odd.
That's really excellent to be able to say that.
Yeah. When we started editing The Miraculous Metal Shrine, we did not have an agreement with the network. And so...
who are you going to cut out? Like, everything is probably so important.
I think 30 minutes is a perfect time because you can get your family together for 30 minutes to watch this.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be, oh, Mom!
So now that we're going to be on a network, it's going to be perfect.
It'll fit.
Yeah, so...
Because that would be hard to cut things out. Like, who are you going to cut out? Like, everything is probably so important.
I think 30 minutes is a perfect time because you can get your family together for 30 minutes to watch this.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be, oh, Mom, what are you putting me in front of, you know? And
exactly.
They'll really, and because of the...
FaithfulTraveler.com. That is TheFaithfulTraveler.com. Diana Van Glahn is with us this morning, and she's the producer and host of The Faithful Traveler. Okay. So, again, you can find out information on the DVD and the upcoming episodes if you go to TheFaithfulTraveler.com. That is TheFaithfulTraveler.com. Diana Van Glahn is with us this morning, and she's the producer and host of The Faithful Traveler, along with her husband, who's a big part of getting this done, David Van Glahn. And, you know, we started the program out about talking about your memories going to different churches and going to New York and feeling like kind of you didn't know, you know, you had an interview, but then you found that Catholic church, that refuge.
Yes.
And really, these shrines, these churches, that's what we have such
for all of us,
a great thing in the Catholic Church. especially in Philadelphia. I mean, where I grew up in Norristown, you could walk three or four blocks, there's the next church. Right. Then there's the next church. You know,
got two saints here. That's a miracle in itself.
And a lot of these churches are so beautiful. And it just, I just had to, you know, as we were talking about music, my background is I was a musician for many years, professional musician, totally away from the church. I was born Catholic. We had no interest in the church whatsoever when I was on tour and that kind of thing. I was in Taipei, Taiwan on tour. And I had been there for a number of months. We were doing some recordings there and doing this big release. And near my hotel, I found a Subway. And there's not a lot of, like, you know, Western food that I could find. Anyway, I kept walking to the Subway.
Burger, huh?
You know, it was a long walk. But I kept walking past this Catholic church. Mm. And I knew it was Catholic. And I had this memory of, like, when I was young and my mom, like, when you go to a new church, I think you would make, like, sort of three prayers. You know, I don't know if that was an Irish Catholic thing or what. I just had a memory and of my grandmother saying, you always, if you go to a new place, always visit the church. Hmm. And here I am, no interest whatsoever, but something finally the one day before
that
I left,
root was there.
I think it was kind of like I knew, I was like, if I come home, and you know, I didn't visit any church on this whole thing. So I stopped in the church one day and I just was really touched. First of all, there was organ music playing that particular day and I played keyboards. But the church, the name of the church was St. John Bosco. And that really did something for me because that is who I chose as my confirmation saint.
And it's just really,
I mean, talk about God being like, I've been waiting for you. And I can't say, I wish I could say I had a big moment where the Holy Spirit brought me back.
But God doesn't give up.
It was a sign of what was to come.
It was a seed.
It was. And I got to say, just like what you said, Diana, like I did feel for that moment. Like I felt home. You know, even though I was like, you know, prodigal son.
Right.
And, you know, so we have such a treasure. And I want to just thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
This is such a great work. And, you know, I think it's going to open up.
It's enjoyable and fun as well.
Yeah. And it's going to open up these shrines to so many people.
Yes.
And both people that have maybe never gone to this shrine and hopefully many. I hope the series goes on to like, I hope
forever.
We have you in for your 100th episode. Because, you know.
Going international.
You know?
Yes. International.
I'll be like 85 by the time we're done.
You'll be going to the moon. I'm sure at some point there'll be a saint up there in a shrine.
But the thing is, even for people like, you know, that have been to these shrines in our local area many times,
yes.
I guarantee you by watching one of these videos, you're going to find a lot of new things. And you're going to not, you won't be able to wait to get back
to
see some of the things.
Well, even when you go next month to air that
like
the
I said
mass,
earlier, I can't wait
be,
to go back and see the stations that I missed.
That's great, yeah.
Take some pictures, Patrick.
Exactly, yeah. So again, Diana Van Glan, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. It's always especially nice when you can come into the studio.
And she brought us donuts, Patrick.
And you brought donuts, so you know we'll have you back. Again, her website is thefaithfultraveler.com. That's thefaithfultraveler.com. The very first episode is out now. It's Philadelphia's Miraculous Metal Shrine, and I invite you to go to the website because not only can you buy the DVD there, but you can also click on the clip, the demo clip. And I think you also have, there's some for the other, St. Catherine Drexel?
Right. We've got clips of St. Catherine and St. Rita as well. And
which are two of the other shrines that you're working on. St. Catherine Drexel Shrine, of course, in Bensalem, PA.
I see the future names of your children, maybe.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm so excited to be able to share this. Oh, I wanted to go through some of the endorsements you have.
Oh, yeah.
Bishop Michael Sheridan from Colorado Springs. I believe that there is a market for this kind of catechetical tool, as well as a real need for Catholics to become more familiar with the treasures of their faith. That's a nice endorsement.
Yeah.
You know, I know you were in the Catholic Standard and Times recently. Just, you know, you can find out all these different things again on their website.
Yes.
So, Diana, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
This has been an exciting program.
All right, well, we'll be back with you next week.